Keep your eyes on the one who died for you, the one who loves you, the one who lives for you, the one who makes intercession for you, the one who will never leave you, never forsake you, never relax his hold upon you. You keep your eyes upon him. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday and welcome to the broadcast. This week on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues his Old Testament study from the book of Nehemiah. And today, he concludes the message, The Joy of the Lord. Now here's Pastor.
And then he said there in verse 10 to them, he said, go your way, eat the fat. Go ahead and just get full, eat the meat. This is a time to celebrate. Drink the sweet and send portions to those to whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Do not cry. Do not weep. No sorrow in your heart. Let it go right this minute. The reason for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen. Do you believe that? I mean, the joy of the Lord really is your strength. If you need strength, you need his joy. That's all you need to have. You'll have all the strength you need. Isn't it amazing that God is telling them in his word how to have joy? He says, oh, listen, the joy of the Lord is the strength. You know, when we get over to chapter 12, verse 42, it says, and the singers sang loudly with Jerazaniah, the director. And also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoice, here comes, ready? For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children, they also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Man, listen, that's the house of God, the people of God should be the most joyous people in the world, amen? It doesn't mean you're not going to hurt sometimes. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems or anything like that. But I'll tell you, the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. See, our joy is of divine origin. And also, our joy, the object of our joy is the Lord, amen? Oh, so we look unto him. We have strength that no one else has. We have the strength of the Lord. And you know something? He wants you to experience that strength. He wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, for example, do you believe that all the promises are yes? And again, I say yes in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, amen. How about Philippians 4:13? I can do what? All things. I am equal to anything. That's what that means. I'm equal to no matter what it is, I can do anything. I can do all things, not in myself, but I can do it through Christ Jesus. Why? Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. His joy is my strength. Amen? And that joy lives in our hearts. Listen, the Word of God is true. The secret of the strength is the joy of the Lord. And you know what? You look at this world is not joyous. You know what's so sad about the world right now is that everyone is pointing the finger and blaming everyone for things that happened 20 years ago. And you know what? You can't change morality. You can't change what happened 20 years ago. You can't change what happened 150 years ago. You can tear down every statue you want in the city and the nation. It won't change what happened. Do you understand? Nothing. That doesn't erase it. That doesn't make it better. None of those things. Oh, loved one, listen, we're living in a time when people, when social media thinks that they can correct the moral majority or the morals of people. No, that's not going to work. Only God can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You can't change it. Oh, but I tell you what, you run to God and he'll change you. That's what's needed today. In this world, this joy, the religion's joy is full of weakness. Only Christianity has the joy of the Lord. I think that we don't even need to try to explain it. That's head knowledge. Nothing wrong with that, but I'd rather experience the joy because that's heart knowledge to where I have the joy of the Lord living in me. Jeremiah 15:16 said this. He said, oh God, your words were found and I ate them and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. 1 John 1, 4 says this, and these things, John says, we write to you that your joy may be full, may be overflowing. Man, listen, the Word of God is supposed to bring you joy. And even if it brings you correction, that should bring you joy. Amen? It keeps you on the straight path. Jesus said in John 15, 11, boy, listen to this one. These things I've spoken unto you that not anyone's joy, but his joy, my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You look up that word full in the Greek, it's pleru. It means completely overflowing the joy of the Lord. It remains in you. It belongs to you. No one can take that from you. But you know what? You can certainly not walk in it. You have to appropriate what God says you can have by faith at all times. Amen? That's the only way we can do it. You know, the source of our strength, the Lord's joy. There's no joy without God's Word. There's no joy without Jesus Christ. And the Word should make you joyful. I mean, you know, have you ever just talked to one and said, well, you're a co-heir of Christ? Okay, yeah. Yeah. Heaven is your home. Yeah, I know it. No sorrow. Yeah, yeah. No pain. No more tears. You're going to live forever with Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's wrong with you? Man, listen. We are the people of God. All things, Paul said, all things are yours. All things. They've already been given to us. Listen, what all that God the Father is going to give Jesus the Son is going to share with us because we are co-heirs with Christ. We're children of God. You know, whenever the Bible says in 1 John 3, 1, when it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, lavished upon us, poured out upon us, that we should be called the children of God, we should fall on our faces. Behold what manner of love. That is one, what manner in the Greek is one word. It means a love that is not from this world, a love that is completely out of this world, from heaven, a love that never changes, never goes up, never goes down. He never looks at you and says, I don't love you. He never looks at you and says, you know, why don't you add up? You have already added up because you're in the one who was perfect, amen, and still is perfect, Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, our joy, even when we're depressed, even when it's down, listen, there's Romans 8. It begins with no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and it ends with no separation. Man, we're locked in tight. We're going to be with the Lord. Nothing can separate us from Him. Nothing, not death, not sword, not peril, not angels, not principalities, not things created, absolutely nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are solid with Him, not because we've done it, it's because He's done it. And what God has done, no one can stop. Amen? Oh, that's right. Our joy tonight, listen, you know, how does joy really happen? Joy when you're down. I use the word grieving again. See, a grieving, when you grieve in your heart, it's because you love someone. And even though you can't make the change, even though maybe you've prayed and want to see, and you just keep grieving because nothing has happened, you don't mean to grieve, but see, when you love, you just grieve. Does that make sense? Well, God knows the only way for you to get out of that. I'm not saying the pain goes away. But the only way is to have the joy of the Lord then is to believe by faith, is to trust the promises of God. Do you remember Habakkuk? I mean, what a great three chapters that little book is. And man, I mean, God was sending, remember, the judgment was coming, the Babylonians were coming against Judah. And man, they had surrounded the city and there was no hope. It was going to happen. And there was Habakkuk. Remember what he did? He looked and he was trembling. He says, oh my goodness, the enemies are coming and there's not anything that we can do. You know what Habakkuk said? He said in Habakkuk 3:17, he said, oh, though the fig tree may not blossom nor fruit be on the vines, and though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, and though the flock may be cut off from the field and there be no herd in the stalls. He said, basically, if everything that I see, everything that sustains me, if it fails, if it's gone, if my way of life is gone before my very eyes, he says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. In my darkest moment, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy, not in my circumstances, not because I'm surrounded by the enemy, not because everything's getting ready to be destroyed. But he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Not in the darkness, not in the things that are happening, but he's going to rejoice. And why? Because the joy of the Lord is what strengthens you in the midst of grieving or in the midst of that pain. And he goes on and he says, here it is. The Lord God is my strength. You see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. He says, the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He'll make me walk upon the high hills. Praise the Lord for that. What does he mean? That God will never fail you. Not high heels, eh? Do you understand? He will never, ever fail you. No, not ever. The joy of the Lord is your strength and nothing else is. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, the world's joy is temporary. It is artificial. And when that joy is gone, people are left with even greater weakness and greater emptiness. But the joy that comes from the Lord is real. It is lasting and it enriches our lives. And that is without a doubt. Look at verse 11. And so the Levites quieted all the people. Remember, they were crying, they were mourning and weeping. And he says, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. You remember a moment ago how I said about being grieved in your heart? And all the people went their way. Now they're to eat and to drink. And look what they did. They sent portions and they rejoiced greatly. Why? Because they understood the words that were declared to them. Not because the walls had been rebuilt. Not because of those things. Now they're protected. No, because they understood the word of God. And then they did exactly what the word of God told them to do. I remember, in my first pastorate, I'll never forget it. I was in prayer that night. I was crying out to God. And as God is my witness, I was in the bedroom. Becky was asleep. And I'm just next to her praying quietly. No one heard me. And I said, oh God, I need a word from you about what we're going through. And all of a sudden, just like a dove came in, and it was all pitch black, but it came into my heart or my mind, I don't know. And I saw 2 Corinthians 5:7, you know, fall right into my heart, you know, that we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Do you know that word brought such joy to me because that's the word I needed to hear that night. Do you understand? That, okay, I see all these things, but God says, oh, Bill, you walk by faith. Don't you believe I'm going to take care of you? Don't walk by what you see. Don't let those circumstances control you. I'm not ever going to leave you. I'm not ever going to forsake you. You see, when they understood the words that were declared to them, oh, man, they were exploding with joy when they understood the word of God. Again, no wonder John the apostle, when he writes in 1 John, he said, I've written unto you these things that your joy may be full, not empty, not half full, but completely running over. You know, we have what the world wants. We have what the world longs for. We have joy. We really have the joy of the Lord. Listen to me now. Do you know it is the will of God for you to have his joy? That's God's will for your life. He wants you to have that joy. And it's a product of intimacy. It's a product of fellowship. It's a product of knowing and believing the word of God. And it's also a product of being full of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5, 22? For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Joy, that is a supernatural fruit from heaven, loved one, not on this earth. It's from God. Listen, it says, and then on the second day, the heads of the father's house, all the people, the priests, the Levites, they were gathered to Ezra, the scribe, and here it comes again, in order to understand or gain insight, to learn the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord God had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches and branches of the oil trees and the myrtle branches and the palm branches and the branches of the leafy trees. Make booths as it is written. So the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrates, remember, the wandering in the wilderness and when they are celebrating God's provision and the shelter that God had given them. He says, and then the people went out and they brought them and made themselves booths, and each one was on the roof of his house. Remember, Jerusalem is now repopulated, okay? They built in their homes. And in their courtyards, the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths, and they sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And watch what it says. And there was very great, what? Gladness. They celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles like they had never done before. Now, that doesn't mean that they had not celebrated it since the time of Noah, because they did. But they'd never celebrated it this way. You see, they were relearning the Word of God, that they didn't have that in captivity. You see what I'm saying? They were all gathered as one person. Man, they were in love with the Word of God. Again, one man in one place. They wanted one thing. They just wanted God's Word. So they all participated in something that they had not done since the Babylonian captivity. They all built the little booths, some on the roofs of the home, some in the courtyards. And every night they would sleep in them with the children, and they would tell the story of what that meant. So they were being built back up all over again. And also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read the book of the law of God. Now Moses, remember, in Deuteronomy commanded that it would be read during that period of time. And so they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Now, the walls have been rebuilt. So the city now is no longer a reproach. We'll get to the dedication in a week or two or whenever. But listen, the word is being read. The word of God is being understood. The word of God is being obeyed. Everything is falling into place, and revival is now happening. And the joy of the Lord is their strength. Do you know what? The joy of the Lord should be our strength. We should be coming together as one man. You know what I love tonight? When I was listening to Chuck just about the tribute, and he was talking about the early days there at Costa Mesa. And this, of course, this was during the Jesus movement. You know, that's when I came to Christ. Mike McIntosh was talking about, he said, it was unbelievable. It's all hippies back then, you know. And he said they were bringing in these guys and women on their cots. They were so sick. Some of them were like drug addicts. I mean, out of their minds. And some of them they couldn't walk. They were ill. And he said, they prayed for them. And people started getting up out of their cots. They started walking. They were totally made whole. Listen, that is revival. That is when God is touching people. You understand what I'm saying? Those days can happen again. All we have to do is hunger after God again. Hunger after the Word of God again. Wanting to serve God all again with our hearts. Listen, it can happen right now. That's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:1, he says, therefore, we're also surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The sin, a specific sin, meaning unbelief. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen carefully. Who for the joy, there's that word again, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Christian, listen to me. No matter how you feel, I'm not saying to deny the way you feel, but I'm saying no matter how you feel, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, keep your eyes on the one who died for you. The one who loves you, the one who lives for you, the one who makes intercession for you, the one who will never leave you, never forsake you, never relax his hold upon you. You keep your eyes upon him. Amen. And that name is Jesus Christ, that joy that was set before him. You know, the horrible things that our Lord went through, I know that the joy that was set before him, you know, wasn't to come in this crummy world that was so filled with sin, to be born in a feed trough. Of course, even the Word of God teaches us that was prophesied. His own family denied him. The thorns upon his brow, the lictor's lash upon his back, the sin of the world being placed upon him. No, you know, the joy that was set before him that says in Luke 19:10, it says that Jesus Christ came to what? To seek and save those that were lost. Man, you see, the joy that was set before him is you, me. He died for us. Amen. Oh, I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. You know, can I tell you something tonight? I don't know, maybe just one of you, maybe many of you, I don't know, but don't allow the devil to lie to you. He's a great liar. He's a really good liar. Matter of fact, he is the origin and the father of all lies. He loves to deceive. He loves to discourage. He loves to kill, steal, and destroy. He loves to appear as an angel of light, to where it makes you look like, well, this has got to be good, but it's not good. He is the worst of the worst. And he'll tell you, you know what? Oh, look what you've done. You'll say to yourself, I don't know why I did that, but I just want to give up now. Oh, that, and he'll go, yeah, you want to give up? You need to give up. Well, I fail. Oh, yeah, you have failed. You're a failure. You're just no good. And you know what? You might as well give up because you don't have any joy anymore. Let me tell you something. If that's you, you run to the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart because you will find joy if you believe the Word of God in forgiveness that is given unto you. Amen. I'll tell you, He will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will forgive you. He will cast your sin so far away that He'll never remember it again. That's what He does. All you have to do is believe in your heart. If you confess your sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from not some unrighteousness, but from all unrighteousness. He throws it behind His back. Loved one, listen to me. You know why there's so many joyless Christians today? It's because they have forgotten where the joy of the Lord is found. That's why I encourage you, never neglect your prayer time. Never neglect Bible study. Never neglect being alone with the Lord. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11, He says, "You will show me the path of life," and listen carefully, "and in your presence is the fullness of joy." When you're in the presence of the Lord, oh, getting into the presence of the Lord, it says that God inhabits the praises of His people, amen? He inhabits us when we worship Him, when we praise Him, the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you something, you cannot, whenever the manifested presence of the Lord, either here in worship or during the Word or in your private prayer time, when the manifest presence of the Lord is upon you, the joy is absolutely unspeakable. You couldn't even think a bad thought if you tried, because all of a sudden your flesh has been commandeered. In the presence of the Lord, you're in a holy awe before Him. Do you understand me? The manifest presence of God touching your life, touching you, letting you know that I am here, letting you know that He is near, letting you know that He loves you, that He cares. You know, like a father wrapping his arms around his child. Safety, security, love. Oh, how He loves us, like the song just said. Do you know how much He loves you tonight? He says, oh gosh, people, I love you, and in my presence there is fullness of joy. And at my right hand, listen carefully, are pleasures forevermore. Forever and ever and ever and ever. We have a joy that will never, ever, ever fade away. Let the world escape get it out of your head. The world's passing away. Everything in it's going to pass away. This is a temporary planet, but we're not a temporary people. If our earthly house be dissolved, we have a home in the heavens. Amen? Man, listen. We're going to be there forever and ever. You can't even imagine the incredible things that God has planned for you, not only now, but then.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with another message from God's Word. And we do hope you'll join us again. We appreciate you listening to the broadcast today. We pray that you have a great day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.